to India and Ireland, round Africa and back again. We don't really need to know just where we'll go. Maybe Canada, then to Brazil, then through the Alpine foothills. All I really want to know is can we go? Oh baby, can we go? Round and around the globe.
Welcome to Take Me With You, episode 93. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Cheryl. We are two well-traveled people who want to go everywhere.
But that's not going to happen. So instead, we'll travel vicariously by inviting a guest to share their unique travel stories with us.
Today, we are continuing our summer series where we are taking a little bit of a break from having guests to watch some travel shows.
Yes, we are. And it's been fun.
It has. Yeah.
I feel like I have broadened my horizons in types of shows. In that a number of these, especially I think last week's episode and then this week's episode, are not really shows that I typically would have watched.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. So I think I kind of the same. I think I just kind of watched the shows that I watch and yep. everything. And so it's been fun checking out different ones. And I think at the end of this summer, we need to do some questions about like which one will you keep watching? You know, or yes. different things like that, I mm-hmm. think will be mm-hmm. really fun to kind of discuss, which we've done on a week by week level, but it'll be fun to kind of look at these, what, 10, 12?
It depends on how many we end up doing.
It's like 11 or maybe 12, somewhere around that we're watching.
Yeah.
So that's going to be kind of a fun way to review a number of travel shows.
Yeah, definitely is.
Yeah. And it's also just interesting what like entertainment looks like to different people, I think.
Yes. Well, yeah. I think you and I started in very similar places. And then the farther we've gotten into things, I think we've seen some of the differences in our style.
Yes. Yeah, because we were both just like, we like Rick Steves. He's great.
Yay, and yeah, travel's fun.
And then it has been cool to see, like, obviously there's differences in us and what we like and everything. So it's kind of fun to explore that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this
what are we doing this week?
We watched Conan Without Borders, which we like just found out existed.
Conan the Barbarian? Is that the one?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Oh. Are you sure?
This is Conan O'Brien.
Oh, okay. The late night talk show host.
Yes. And I find him so funny and delightful. I think he's hilarious. What do you think about him just in general?
I think that I don't know very much about him.
Okay.
I don't watch a lot of late night TV. Well, I watch a lot of TV late at night, but I don't watch a lot of late night TV. And the things that I do watch are usually clips that pop up on YouTube. So I'll see bits and pieces. And usually the ones that I see most often are from the Jimmys.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I think I've seen a few of Conan's. I'm trying to think. I did see one just a few weeks ago that Conan did on his show. And I remember being not impressed because I felt like he did all the talking and the guest didn't say. I think he was interviewing Gene Wilder. It was an older one. It was from a number of years ago. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm looking up this show because on Netflix there are, what, 6 episodes?
Something like that. There aren't very many.
Not very many. And so I was just looking it up to find out like more about this show and everything. And it looks like maybe there is more of it. So maybe Netflix only has like a piece.
That could be.
Because I'm finding like on IMDb that there's one on Berlin from season 7, episode 17.
Season 7? There's only one season on Netflix.
Yeah. Although, oh, okay. So it looks like maybe this Conan show has, maybe it's like a type of episode that they air every once in a while.
Yeah.
Called Conan Without Borders, because there's a laugh track the whole time, which is very different when watching a travel show to have a laugh track going. So yes. I'm wondering then if they do Conan Without Borders as one of the types, because they have one on IMDb that's recent called Conan at Home, which I'm guessing maybe has to do with the stay at home orders.
Yes.
Yeah. So it looks like maybe something he's done a handful of times is do like a little travel show for his show.
Yes, that's that. And that would make sense based on at least one of the episodes that I watched, because I watched one where he basically just did his show, but in another country.
Oh, interesting.
That was the first one that I watched. And so I was like, oh, well, this is less exciting.
Well, let's see. I watched one where he went with his producer and lots of it played off of their personalities. And so that was interesting because it felt like the people watching were very familiar with this guy.
Yes, I saw some of that as well, where, I don't remember the other guy's name, but apparently they make fun of each other or something.
Jordan.
I don't know.
There is a guy named Jordan that looks like they kind of hate on each other a little bit.
Could be.
Wow. There are a lot of episodes of his shows.
Well, yes.
Okay, so this is on Netflix, like we were sharing. At least there are 6 episodes on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched 3 episodes, like we've been doing.
We did.
And we each watched one from a location that we've been to. And then we watched one together, yes, that we haven't been to.
Yes.
So we watched... you watched the Mexico episode.
Yep, episode 3.
And I watched the Italy episode. And then together we watched the Korea episode.
Yeah, and that one was episode 2.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So how about you go ahead? Do you want to share about the Mexico episode?
So the Mexico episode, like I mentioned, was his night talk show that was done in Mexico. And it was... done, and he made a very intentional point about describing it was done in Mexico, specifically Mexico City, which I haven't actually been to Mexico City, but I've been to Mexico. So that's why I said in quotes earlier, because I've been having trouble apparently with some of the recent shows that we've been watching, finding places when they don't have a lot of episodes that I have actually been to. And we both have been to Italy, but the Italy episode that you watched, you've actually been to the city that it takes place in, where I've not been to that particular part of Italy. So we just opted for that. So it takes place in Mexico City. And he says that the show was completely run by Mexicans. So the Mexican crew, I don't know if there was Mexican writers necessarily, but it was done on Mexican television, all that sort of stuff, Mexican audience, everything was, because it was in Mexico City, it was done by local workers, which I think was really cool. Yeah. But it literally was just a talk show that happened, but the segments were all with Mexican people. So that it opened with a sort of a comedy sketch of him crossing the border. I didn't really find it funny, but it apparently was funny. A lot of the episode, and I'm not sure what year this episode happened, but a lot of it was all riffing on the wall and whether or not the Mexicans were going to pay for the wall to be built between our borders.
Oh, okay.
So in that sense, it had a political... I mean, it wasn't really that people were arguing or anything like that, but obviously that's not something that I think the Mexican people would be all that keen about. Mm. And that was just a major theme that kept coming up, and it kind of was off-putting for me because I don't enjoy politics and I don't often find politics funny. So a lot of those jokes and things that ran throughout the whole episode were not entertaining or interesting for me. So he, did the whole kind of opening monologue, which he did all in Spanish, which was interesting. So he told all of the jokes in Spanish. It was subtitled so that those of us who do not speak fluent Spanish could understand, but he did it because it's all Hispanic audience. So that I thought was cool that he was willing to dive in and, you know, try the language and do his best there to engage with the culture. He then did an out on the street sort of segment where it was all about asking if people were going to pay for the wall, and nobody wanted to. Surprise. And then he did another out on the street thing where he was practicing his jokes that he already did in his opening monologue, but he was practicing them with people on the street to see if they thought that the jokes were funny or not, and to give him feedback. And some of it was entertaining. There was an older woman who was a kind of a character, and she was funny. Mm-hmm. I didn't really find Conan funny, but she was funny. And then he appears in a telenovela.
So apparently I think that's a theme for these.
Is that telenovela?
He always tries to appear in a soap opera.
Oh, did he do that in the episode you watched also?
Yes.
Okay.
And he referenced that he's done it before. So maybe not always, but in all three episodes, he tried to appear in a local soap opera.
Okay. So apparently that's his thing. So he does. He shows up in a telenovela. And then he has Diego Luna on as a guest, who I'm sure you know who that is.
Maybe not.
Cassian Andor? This was the one part that I was interested in. He's the actor who plays Cassian Andor in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Oh, okay. That's exciting.
Yeah, so
yeah,
that was kind of cool.
Yeah, you got some Star Wars in there. That's
yeah, they
great.
Didn't really talk about Star Wars much, but it still was like, oh, I know you from Star Wars. You know, there was some recognition, so cool. That part was cool. So they talked a little bit and interviewed him. Then they did a thing where Conan, another like out there, they shot it and then played back that where he decided to do Mexican wrestling, which apparently is called Lucha Libre. And so he had to create his character of the something or other rooster. And this is when his other producer person came in and was the sad baby. Again, it was things that I think were supposed to be funny, and I just didn't think they were funny. Mm. I just thought they were dumb. And then they had a former president of Mexico. I think his name is, and I apologize, I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but Vicente Fox on. And that was almost entirely about the wall. And I think at that point I was playing it and looking at other things on my computer because I was bored. And then they do a thing where Conan goes and plays football, but like football, which is we would call soccer, mm-hmm. right? But that the rest of the world calls it football.
Yeah.
And so he goes outside and with some people and then has one of their national players come and help as well. And he's obviously Conan's not very good, but then they paid somebody to let him make a goal or something, but it was a joke. Again, I was bored by now. So I'm only half paying attention because I'm not really interested. I don't really care. It's not interesting to me. Then they go to a chef who cooks octopus, but they don't even really do a whole lot with it. It's more, Conan picks up the octopus and is like holding it and it's still alive. And they're talking a little bit about how they cook it and that some people eat it like raw, live or something.
So you got two episodes about octopus. Because in the Korea episode that happens.
Oh, then maybe I'm blending the two of them together. I'm sorry. Then no, because
you
it only happened once.
You loved this show.
Sorry. And then he goes to a young woman's quinceañera, the 15th birthday. Uh-huh. That's, you know, a big deal in Mexican culture. And he goes there and then he does like a speech that, again, is supposed to be funny, but I didn't find funny. And the young woman didn't seem to think it was funny either. I don't know if she just didn't understand or whatever, but she just had an awkward, like forced smile on her face the whole time. Mm. And that was basically the episode.
Okay.
So I'm sorry I don't have a lot to say. I was really bored and not interested.
Well, that's a very different style to just do his show in another country.
Yes. Because that's not what – this is like another example why I think it's good that we watch multiple episodes. Because then the episode that you and I watched together about Korea was very different.
Yes. And the episode I watched about Italy was very different much more like the Korea episode, but he wasn't trying to do his show in Italy either.
Yeah.
And so I agree. I think that, I mean, I think whether or not, like, you think he's funny or the personality thing or whatever is, like, right. obviously up for interpretation, but that's just a totally different style of a show to have it be his show taking place in another country versus him doing a travel show.
Exactly. And that was where I was like, well, it is taking place in another country and we are seeing bits and pieces of the other country and we're getting a flavor of the language. But I was like, well, this is not really travel, really.
Yeah.
There's like some travel embedded in it because it's taking place somewhere else. I actually felt like, oh, now we've watched so many now. I'm trying to remember which one it was that I felt this way. But one of the ones we watched early on, maybe it was the way I felt about No Reservations. I think it was No Reservations, where I felt like it was primarily a food show, but there happened to be some travel in there. Mm. And that's kind of the way I felt about this. It was primarily his talk show, but it just happened to also take place somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think that the other two episodes felt more like a comedy travel show as opposed to his talk show.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yes, it definitely was different than this episode. This one was different.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, though, now that we know that these are taking place kind of over time during different seasons of his talk show, that might make sense if there's more of a disconnect between them. And it might have been like they had a unique opportunity to produce his show in a different country and they were like, great. And then Netflix said, hey, cool, you have this segment that we're going to turn into its own show on Netflix.
Yep.
So this, because this one was season 7, episode 51.
Of his actual talk show.
Yes.
Because that's not what it showed up on Netflix.
Yes, that's correct.
Which is
so it came out on March 1st of 2017. Just to give a little context for that.
It's like 3 years ago.
So, Ryan, I can guess your answer to this.
Okay.
Do you feel like this episode matches your experience of this location?
Not really, but I didn't really expect it to. Because I've been to Mexico once, and it was we went to Puerto Vallarta, and it was very much the standard tourist, you go stay at a resort, you go to the beach, that sort of a thing, which isn't necessarily, I wouldn't say that's not Mexico, because it is, but it's not the same as going to Mexico City or, you know, being in a big city sort of a thing. So it was a very different sort of experience.
Mm.
And I didn't go to a talk show.
That makes sense. So I watched the Italy episode.
Yes.
And that was from season 8, episode 58 of his talk show. And it came out on April 11th, 2018.
Okay. So
a year,
a little
after
more than a year later.
Episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. I think I enjoy his humor a lot more than you do, though, as well.
Yes.
But this definitely was like him doing a travel show. I mean, also him being himself, but him doing a travel show. So, and he goes with his associate producer, this guy named Jordan, who's been to Italy 30 times.
Oh, wow.
And this guy takes the same trip every time he goes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So he just went and took Jordan's trip with him.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, I know you'll probably still kind of not think it's particularly funny necessarily, but you might really enjoy this episode.
Okay.
Because this guy, Jordan, like truly loves Italy, speaks Italian. I'm guessing because he's chosen to travel there 30 times and like goes to like his favorite restaurant in this one place and they know him there. I mean, all these things, and rents the same car at a point when he does like a little road trip and like fully appreciates Italy. And so that was really fun. And then, of course, highly contrasted by Conan making fun of him a lot.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and then obviously to go along with that, and maybe this is a dynamic that they show before, because the way the audience reacted to Jordan, it seemed like this is like a thing that they know or something. But he was just like so straight faced, and Conan would be making fun of him and saying these things that it was like, if your friend was doing that, you'd be laughing, you know, because it was so funny. But he would just keep that straight face, although he like broke a little bit a couple times. And so they do a little bit of training before they actually go to Italy.
Training.
And, like Jordan tells him about some Italian foods and they eat together. And then, or like Conan is saying the word biscotti. So Jordan's correcting him and saying, well, biscotti's plural, so you're going to say this. And so they just do a little tiny bit of that. So they go to Florence, Tuscany, and Naples. Although
is Tuscany a city?
A region.
Yes, that's what I thought. They drive through Tuscany. Okay, gotcha.
Yes. And you can tell at the end of the episode that they also went to Rome, because they do kind of a silly fake trailer for a movie at the end, and most of the shots are in Rome. And so, but they don't.
And you know that because you've been to Rome, or because they're the major sites that everybody knows are in Rome?
Both. I mean, there's the Colosseum in that. Okay. So you can tell that just because it's the Colosseum.
Sure.
And then there were some other shots that I recognized from Rome. Okay. As well. So they start in Florence, and Conan, I mean, this is giving it away. I don't know if I'd want to travel with him. Certainly if he was acting like this, like how he films a show, because I'd be so embarrassed. Although if it was for a show, then maybe I would have a really good time. But like, he does this thing and it drives Jordan crazy, where he just yells random Italian words to people like they're a greeting. I loved it. I loved it every time. Like, to me, it just kept being funny. And then Jordan was telling him, like, no, that's offensive. Like, and he was like, no, like, they're going to think I'm Italian. And he was like,
Cheryl, I think you're Conan and I'm Jordan. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, because if we did a travel show, it might be like that.
Uh-huh. And as you're as you're describing it, it does not sound funny to me. That sounds awful. That sounds terrible. I'm identifying with Jordan. And you're like, it was so funny every time. It's like, I think I just get annoyed.
You're like, no, it's really not. Yeah. Well, okay, there's this old movie from like the 70s, I believe, that is on some of the list of like worst movies ever. It was made by students that went to the college that my dad went to. So my dad loves it a lot and my family loves it. It's called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We've talked about that before.
Awesome.
And there was a cartoon when I was young based on the movie called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. And I definitely watched that cartoon.
Okay. So my family has watched, there's four movies. It's a four-part trilogy.
And, sounds right.
I think it's the last one where it's called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes Eat France. And one thing they do are the French people, which I say in quotes, just yell out random French words as like exclamations, which like clearly they're Americans. Right. French people, so they just yell at like soup du jour, or you know, different things like that, or baguette, you know, just, and so it reminded me of that as well, which I think delighted me even more, because he's just like yelling out like Italian foods to people, and like one guy yells it back, and then Conan's like, see like he thought I was Italian, and so it just made me very happy.
What's interesting, though, is that bit I've seen in other things and have had it be funny, but in that context where it's being yelled out to random people in a real world scenario, I think is the part that I don't like. Cause I don't know if you've ever watched the cartoon show Animaniacs.
A little bit.
Okay. I love it. It's my favorite. It's wonderful. And there's one of the little mini sketches that they do is called The Good Feathers, which is based on The Good Fellas. and they have the god pigeon. They're all pigeons. And that's sort of what, there's one character whose name is Pesto, and he fights all the time, and he will just shout out random Italian words, and they're usually foods, which I do find funny, but that's a cartoon.
Yeah. And Conan's kind of like a cartoon.
Yeah, he kind of is. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm.
I think, to me, the presence of cameras does make a difference. Because he's doing these weird things and there's a camera crew there.
Yes. But for me personally, if he were doing that, I would still be embarrassed and want him to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think, to me, if there weren't cameras, I would be embarrassed and want him to stop. And if there were cameras, I'd probably think it was very funny, just because it, like, communicates something so different, you know? Right. So, yeah. I took a million notes, so I'll have to kind of not share all of them necessarily.
Oh, that's but, so like, funny, because I took so few notes.
He is ordering, like, a sandwich, and they're telling him that there's mozzarella on it. And so he is trying to tell this Italian person who owns this sandwich place how to pronounce the word mozzarella.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I hate that with, oh, okay.
He goes to a drawing class at the Accademia d'Arte, which is, it's a museum as well, and that's where the David is. So it's like the famous museum.
You can do a drawing class there. Interesting.
Yes. And so they have a naked person as the subject.
An actual live naked person?
Yes. Okay. And Conan eventually makes the drawing himself over time, and he's like, you see, I'm what they call a narcissist. So he starts out trying to draw this guy, and then eventually just like adds his hair. And then he's like, and I'm on a bus, and like just adds all this stuff. And
that's funny.
It was pretty fun. And then it was funny because then he has Jordan pose as the naked model and is telling Jordan all these like weird poses to do. And then the other people, he's like, don't laugh at this. This is art. You shouldn't laugh. So people, including the drawing teacher, are like stifling their laughter.
Oh boy.
And then you see that he's selling his drawing on the street with other art. And so I like that. His
drawing of a nude person that's himself?
Yes.
Okay.
So then
his nude self-portrait.
Jordan rents a Fiat, I think it's from like the 60s, to drive through Tuscany. And so they're driving in that together. And I wrote down a couple quotes. It was interesting because Conan's saying something about travel and Jordan tells him, well, you've come into this with a predisposition about what travel should be. And this is the trip. Like, this driving we're doing right now is part of the trip and part of what you can enjoy. And then, which I think was a good point. And then it was funny because, of course, Conan says, you think you sound really profound, but you sound like what a 15-year-old girl would write in a yearbook. and then he like does a lot of Yoda voices at him because he's like, the trip is in you, or you know, just like trying to say profound stuff about a trip. But and then they get to go with some people to hunt for truffles. So they bring dogs, and the dogs like sniff out where these Tuscan truffles are.
I think I've seen that on at least one of our other travel shows that we watched.
Oh,
maybe
really?
Two of them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's funny because then, of course, he suspects that they hid the truffles in advance because the dogs, like, right away find a few. And so, but that was kind of fun to see that. Then they go to a winery in Chianti, and they talk about tasting notes. And Conan gets like very bothered by the way Jordan is like swirling his glass. They talk about tasting notes. Conan is very obnoxious and then asks the woman, out of all the tours you've given, is this the stupidest? And she was like, well, it's just unique. And so, but it was really cool. I enjoyed seeing that wine tasting.
I'll bet you did.
And then they go to Cortona, which is Jordan's favorite town. I've never heard of it. And this, I thought this was so cute. So this is Jordan's favorite town. So they have, Conan goes up on these steps and has the mayor with him. And they present
I'm bracing Jordan for impact right now.
With a sign for his own parking spot in his honor because he loves this town so much. And they have these like trumpeters come and like it's like supposed to be this big presentation to Jordan.
I'm waiting for the shoe to drop.
I mean, there's not really another shoe exactly. It's just a thing they do. It's very funny because there's not a crowd gathered. There's a handful of people in the square. There's hardly anyone there. And then Jordan is giving like a thank you speech. And then Conan and the mayor leave. And then the people watching leave and the trumpeters and everything. And then eventually the police like escort him away.
As he's giving the speech, these things happen.
Yeah. So I think a part of it's supposed to be like, Conan thinks that Jordan is really boring, I guess. That's one of the themes that I noticed on this. But it was so cute, though, that they gave him, like, a sign for his own parking spot as a way to honor him. I thought it was really sweet. And then they go to Jordan's favorite restaurant. And Jordan wants the experience to be, like, he wants Conan to experience exactly what he likes to experience. So he even asked for like different wine glasses because he feels like it's not quite the right experience. And so, yeah, that was interesting. And then Conan busts out ketchup to put on his food. And Jordan was mortified. Like he brought his own little packet of it.
A packet.
Yes. So I enjoyed that. And then lastly, they go to Naples. I've never been to Naples. And so they order coffee there and they have this big scene in this, coffee shop. And it's funny. Conan is commenting. He was like, man, everyone actually stands at the counter when they get their coffee. There isn't anyone like sitting in the corner writing a screenplay for 4 hours at this coffee shop. And, I think he was like saying that that was neat, that there are more people interacting and standing up and at the bar and everything. So it was very funny though, because Jordan definitely strikes as very pretentious in this episode. Like just, he seems like a true appreciator. And then also he comes off as pretentious, you know, and
do you
even
think
asking for different wine glasses or different things like that.
He is pretentious or because that's the way it was cut together to give that.
I mean, it might be some of both, you know, or he might just be leaning into that, you know, because he's taking him to a place that he's been to 30 times. So obviously, like, he really enjoys and appreciates it. So that's going to be that he has a lot of information to share, you know, and different things like that. He has so many details about the food. And I was like, I will sit at that dinner and listen to you talk about this food.
Yes, you would.
But it was so, it killed me. So then Jordan is saying, well, it's called espresso. It's an expressed activity. That's what it means. And so, yeah, you're in and out. You're quick with your espresso. And then there's the screen turns black and white. And there's like text on the screen that says espresso actually means pressed out and has nothing to do with speed. And then it has like an ignorant stamp that goes on him. And I thought that was very funny because like, it's funny that he does have a lot of knowledge about this and that also did not understand, you know, the word espresso or why it would be like that. Oh, so then the final thing that happens at the coffee shop is that Conan asked Jordan to order a pumpkin spice latte.
Of course he does.
And the two guys behind the counter, when they finally understand like what he's asking for, they make these disgusted faces, and I thought that was so good because that was more just a great commentary on like Italy, where there's amazing coffee, is like thinks it's disgusting to have pumpkin spice in your latte.
Sure,
that was pretty fun. And then we end with he sees people up in their balconies along the street. Like in a lot of places in Italy, there's like little tiny balconies that look over streets and you can just see people kind of hanging out up there. I don't know if you noticed that before. So he starts yelling to them, and
Italian foods again.
Yeah, a little bit of that, and then he asks one person if he can come up, and they say yes. And oh. So they go up into this person's apartment, and then he sings from the balcony a song he's making up in a terrible Italian accent.
Oh, jeez.
You're just so uncomfortable with...
I think the reality is I don't think I find Conan funny.
Yeah.
I don't think his sense of humor is my sense of humor, because you keep laughing at all these things.
Yeah.
And I don't have a strong desire to see these things.
Oh, and then he gets to go on an Italian soap opera.
Oh, of course.
Yes. And he is an extra in it. And then Jordan also is an extra in it. So that was very funny because, and then they like show it again and he's like, another amazing role for me, or, you know, and it just shows him like briefly nodding to this woman and that's about what he did. So that was.
Oh, he doesn't even have any lines.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, and then they show a movie trailer. It's in Italian. It translates to The Two Buffoons. And it's about them on their trip. So they have a bunch of shots, like extra shots and things.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that was the Italy episode.
Cheryl.
Yes.
Do you feel like this matches your experience of Italy?
Somewhat. Yeah. I mean, my family made a lot of jokes about me speaking in my terrible Italian accent when I went to Italy because I have a terrible Italian accent. But the reality is, I think when I travel, I don't want to act like that. So I think as far as how he acted, no. However, his interactions with people and the overall personality of the country, I think is something I experienced. People are really friendly. He even a couple times talks about how he has like an Italian personality and he doesn't know the language, but he speaks with his hands and is very...
Right.
Just like expressive. Outgoing and expressive and all those things. And so I think some of his interactions with people, it felt like, oh yeah, I could see that. And then he did go to some places I went to, or, and even just like what's interesting in Italy, I noticed that each city kind of has its own look and the buildings kind of look pretty uniform. You know, there's so many beautiful things there that it's not boring, but for example, in Florence, it's yellow. The buildings are yellow, 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 yellow. And so it was fun, like, seeing him walking down the streets of Florence and seeing, like, oh, I don't know if I've been to that street, but it looks familiar to me.
Yeah.
And so that was fun. So I think there's a lot that kind of overlaps with my experience, just if you had a really obnoxious friend with you while traveling there.
And then we both watched the episode where he goes to Korea. On Netflix, it's listed as season one, episode two. But now that we know that it's a pullout from his regular show, do you know which season and episode that falls to?
Yes. So that is season six, episode 69. And
okay.
It came out on April 9th of 2016.
Okay. So 2 years before the episode you watched.
Correct.
And about a year before the episode I watched.
Yeah.
So it sounds like maybe they're coming out about once a year.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a pattern develop here.
So he received a letter from a student asking him to come to Korea.
Yes. But the form of the letter I thought was really funny. It was on an SAT bubble sheet.
Yes. On like
Which
a prep
was very
sheet.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they like use the bubbles to spell out his name and then wrote him a letter.
On the inside.
And he was saying that his show does not air there, but he has a lot of fans there, probably because of YouTube. Like, I think I don't really watch his show either, but I see clips. And so I kind of have similar exposure to you. And it sounds like people in Korea. And so he shows up at the airport.
I felt like that was stereotypical. How do I say this? Obsessive fan.
Yes.
right? The amount of people in the airport, there was, they walk out of, I'm guessing, whatever their version of security or international, you know, customs and immigration or whatever. And there are people everywhere. And there are two levels. Mm-hmm. There's a second level that overlooks everything. And there are people and they have signs and they're cheering and they have their phones out. And it's a madhouse.
It felt like, I mean, like if a rock star went there, like, you know what I mean? Just
like the Beatles back in the day.
Yeah, it was huge. And I mean, they had to have a section roped off for him so that he could stand there and greet everyone. They gave him a megaphone so he could say hi. And the girl who invited him, they let her come hug him. And that was really sweet. Yep. Someone gave him like a portrait of him in like this old, like
a traditional style. Outfit or something. Yeah.
And then they get him out to the car and it looked like he was in a mosh pit where they had to have security people all around him.
They had to like push through the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, no, thank you.
Oh, so you don't want to be Conan. Okay. Got it.
No.
But surprise. Yeah, that was interesting because I think like, I'm trying to think of the, is there anyone who I would be aware of like, oh, they're arriving in the Seattle airport at this time and I'm going to go try to see them. You know, that was just, really crazy.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that.
So he does language classes.
Well, before that, something I appreciated is he gives a little background on the country. He does a little bit of a mini sort of history lesson of what the deal is with North Korea, South Korea, and kind of the history of it, which I appreciated. That, they didn't really have that in the other one. That felt more travel show-like.
Yes. Yes, I appreciated that as well. I thought that that was really cool, especially because later in the episode, that comes into play. And so I thought that was great.
And then they go to this language culture lesson.
Mm-hmm. And he just tries to be inappropriate and a goof and everything.
I hated it.
I'm sure you did. I know. I was thinking like,
and I'm guessing you thought it was funny.
I didn't think that was that funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought the funniest part was when she said, I don't like you. And then later she told him that he was weird and he said, I'm famous for being weird. And it was like, fair, like he's doing his normal bit and she's surprised by it. But, and so it was just like, I really appreciated what she said that to him because, I mean, okay, I don't know like a ton about Asian cultures, but I, you know, you can tell in this episode and I've experienced in Japan, there's a lot about respect and respecting older people and just respecting each other in general. And even throughout this episode, I noticed people hiding their faces a lot when they were really excited to see him. There was a lot of like things like that, people bowing to him. And so for her to say, I don't like you was like, wow, she must have like really been uncomfortable then, you know.
Well, so, he was... I wouldn't say that he was rude. I wouldn't describe it as rude, but he was relentless. And she's trying to teach him this language and he doesn't, I mean, he doesn't take it seriously because it's a bit and it's something he's trying to do for the show.
Yeah.
But it felt like she didn't understand that that's what he was doing. And maybe that's not true, but it felt like she didn't really know who he was or what was going on. And she was trying to actually teach him and he didn't want to learn. Yeah. And maybe she had been coached to go that direction as a part of the bit. Like that definitely could have been a thing. But I think part of why I didn't like it is I just felt like he was really rude. And he wasn't trying to be rude. He was doing it to be funny. It was for the bit.
Yeah.
But that is not the way it looked like she took it at all.
Yeah.
To me anyway. Again, yeah, I can be reading into it and making it way more serious than it needs to be. And that's fine. I'll accept that.
Yeah. And then they go to a fish market. And he sees one person bow to him and he says, is it because I look really old? And they said, yes. You know, because in a lot of cultures, like age is there, like respect goes along with that.
Yep.
And so, of course, then he like dances around like a goof and he's like, but I'm not old.
But then she says that he danced like an old person.
Oh, yes. I love that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He sees a family wearing face masks and says, are they about to commit a bank robbery? So this is so funny. 2 weeks in a row.
Yes.
We're watching a show from a couple years ago where someone's wearing a face mask. And at the time, that was very abnormal.
Yep.
And to us, I like didn't even think of it until he said that.
Yep.
That was so weird. What weird timing.
Yep.
Yeah, that was really interesting. He says, apparently this fish market is also a motorcycle race course because there's motorcycles like zooming through there. So that was really interesting.
So he says this and then they widen out the shot and there's a little kind of a moped type motorcycle that goes through. But it was not going that fast. And there was just the one.
Interesting.
So that we saw. I mean, obviously there may have been a lot more, but I was like, well, that's an over exaggeration.
So then he gets a live octopus that he gets to hold. So this is what you're
referring
to. That's the one.
Yeah, this is, I must have meshed them together. So.
Yeah. And so he decides to make it his pet and name it Samuel. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And the woman who's selling it just keeps shaking her head because she's selling food.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they point out, like, after that scene, he's like, I wasn't actually able to take it back to the country because there's like all these laws. And they showed like all these different types of laws that would not let him be able to do that. And so then he takes it to the aquarium in Seoul. And it's in, I loved this and I can tell that you did not. It's in its little tiny like terrarium.
It's an insect terrarium.
Yeah. Inside a very large aquarium tank with really big crabs surrounding it, which I thought was so funny.
I thought it was dumb. I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was dumb. The fact that he had it and he said, it's going to be my pet and it's going to be Samuel. I'm like, okay.
It reminded me of my stepson.
Well, okay, but I can understand it because he's what, 6?
Yes.
That makes sense. I understand it for a 6-year-old.
I know. I thought it was so funny.
I'm glad that you did because obviously a lot of people do think he's funny. And this is why I say I just don't think his type of humor is my type of humor because he kept doing things like, this is not funny. I'm bored. Mm. And you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really did. And I think that, I think you were either bored or uncomfortable because.
Or annoyed.
Yeah, because he's doing these bits and the key thing with them is that he's doing something that, because it's a different culture, is making it even more uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's again where, like, to me, because there's a camera crew there, it kind of feels like, okay, there's like this show being filmed right now and he's doing this thing. And I think if I just had a friend who went and did that, I would not want to travel with that person.
Yeah.
But as a show, I do think it's very funny. And I think the idea of buying a $1 octopus from a fish market and adopting it and then donating it to an aquarium, like, I thought that was so funny. And even the idea of like, what is food versus what is something you would look at in an aquarium, all of that I thought was so funny. So I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm glad somebody did. I just thought it was dumb.
I also appreciated in the moment when he's in the aquarium, there's a moment with translation, which I think I've experienced where he asked the translator to ask this person who works at the aquarium, how can you tell that it's a female octopus?
Yep.
And he calls it Mrs. Samuel. And the man gives her a pretty long answer.
Yep.
And then she says a very short answer to him, like one sentence.
She says it has to do with the legs.
Yeah. And so I thought that was so funny because I think that there's so much truth to those moments sometimes where, like, when you don't know the language, you're just going to miss out on, you know, like, fully understanding a conversation or getting to be a part of it. Or even, did the translator not totally get how to explain whatever well, scientific
reason. And actually,
reason.
I think this highlights something that I've been exposed to in the past, where really it's not a translator, it's an interpreter. And most of those people, well, I guess I don't know around the world, but the people who I've talked to who do that type of work prefer to be referred to as interpreters, because they to translate is to word for word give you exactly what it means. But an interpreter has to take those things and understand cultural differences between idiomatic expressions that if you translate it word for word is not going to make sense and give the idea that is intended behind it. And so I thought that was an extreme example of how that's an interpretation as opposed to a translation.
That
was a really good illustration of that difference.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, and then there's a piece of that where if there's some like scientific explanation, then it depends on how much she would be able to interpret all of that or even understand those aspects herself in order to interpret them to English.
Yep.
And just because she's able to interpret to English doesn't mean she necessarily know like all the science words either.
Exactly. And that's something that's pretty common. I have a friend who has been for a number of years been working on learning German, and he's taken international tests to rank where he's at with his German and things. And he's I'm probably going to say this wrong, but he's at a place where he's basically more or less functionally fluent. He's obviously not can do, you know, whatever, but he can have conversations easily. He can think in the language. But what he said is the next level is, as far as improving his German, is to learn in a niche area. And for him, because he was a science teacher like I am, that's how we know each other. We worked together for years. He decided to start trying to read books on science because that's a very specific type of language. And he has a medical professional that he works with who is German. And she talked about how there are certain things, because she's lived in the States long enough, she doesn't know the German word for them. She only knows the English word for those because they're very niche, very unique terms.
Interesting.
So I'm sure that, and that's kind of what you were talking about. Yeah. I'm sure that that does play into that is the aquarium docent or whatever was probably explaining some very technical ways to look at the legs and tell the difference. Mm-hmm. And the interpreter may not have known how to translate all of those pieces into English.
Yeah. So
it's hard.
I appreciated that. And then it also was very funny when you can tell there's a long explanation that you're just not going to get, you know?
Yeah. That was definitely funny. Yeah.
And then we got a soap opera.
Yeah, we did, which was weird because it was his face on a fish, but I couldn't tell if that was actually in the soap opera or if that was them making fun of the soap opera.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
I don't know.
And then there was some scene that definitely felt like a Korean drama. My sister has watched some of them. And so when she's described them to me, it was like, oh, yeah, that seems like that word. But also just I think soap operas are so weird. Even when they're in English too, but but it was cute because the actress on it, I think that she got kind of shy and like excited to work with him is what it seemed like.
So even though I got the impression that she was a pretty big star in Korea for this soap opera. And I did think that this bit was funny because unlike the one I saw in my other episode, they showed essentially outtakes of him trying to pronounce his lines in Korean and he just couldn't get it. And I did enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I thought that was really fun. And then eventually when he is doing a better job, it shows the cue cards and it's phonetically written out like really big, which has just got to be so much harder when we have a different alphabet.
You know, and that, sounds that there are sounds that are, we don't, our mouths are not used to making.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that would be pretty challenging. And then he goes to a place called PC Bang. Is it Bang or Bank?
I wrote down Bang.
Okay.
It's a video game cafe.
Yeah. And it's open 24 hours.
Yep.
And you can order snacks there.
Like squid chips or silkworm pupa.
And so he's there with a local guy, mm-hmm. and who just talks about, like, one time he spent 14 hours there. So they have him play some video games with him. I wrote down the quote of, you play video games. No, when you play video games, it looks like you work at a bank.
Well, and that was, so it's because, so this guy is getting Conan set up on, and now I don't remember the name of the game. It's one that I've actually heard of before. I don't remember. But anyway, he's getting the whole account set up and he's typing on the keyboard. But the way that he's typing and the way that the sound that the keyboard makes definitely does look like he's a data entry, yeah, like banker, yeah, type of thing. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah. And then did you have any other notes on that section? He goes to a Taekwondo class.
Uh-huh.
And
makes his own sound effects.
Yes, he does. But first they do a presentation for him. And they do some amazing stuff. I mean, these like spin kicks into wood pieces, but like repeatedly.
Yep.
And some amazing jumps. And so that was really cool because you got to see that like these people were really talented. And then I loved the line where Conan then turns to the camera and says, "And that's me in 1 hour."
Yeah. Because he's going there for a lesson.
Yes. And then, so they're teaching him how to punch a piece of wood and break it.
Piece of plywood, yeah.
Yes. And I also wrote down the line, "But how often do you get attacked by plywood?"
Yeah.
And then he meets up with Steven Young.
Yoon, yes. And yes. I could tell that I was supposed to know who he was, but I didn't. But later on, they made a reference that helped me figure. Apparently, he's on Walking Dead.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was either. And I could tell the same thing. I was like, oh, yeah, we're supposed to know who this is. So he and Steven go to a Buddhist temple.
Yeah.
And
it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And it's snowy there. And they have a wind chime that's driving him crazy, which I could kind of relate to a little bit, actually. But of course, he gets like very bothered by it. Yep. Finds out that the, would it be a monk then?
I believe so, yes.
They have TV there. He has an iPhone and an Android.
Uh-huh.
So that was funny because I was a little bit surprised by that as well.
Well, so was Conan.
Yeah. And then they shovel snow together. The monk gets a phone call at one point during that, which was very funny. And then they end with a snowball fight there.
With the monk.
Yes, with the monk. And so that was really fun. I enjoyed that because I think Conan in this bit was like just trying to learn the things.
Yeah.
You know, and like there was some sort of a bell or type or some sort of like percussion.
It was wood,
instrument.
I believe. Yeah. It was kind of bell. What's that exercise? Maybe it is called a bell where there's a handle that kind of is a half circle at the top. And then there's a weight, like a spherical weight underneath it.
Kettlebells.
Yeah. It seemed like that, but upside down and it was made of wood and it was hollow.
And then there was some sort of like mallet stick.
Yeah.
Type of thing
that you would hit it with.
You had to do it in like a certain way.
Yeah.
And so I liked that. The comedy of that was Conan genuinely trying and not being able to get it and also not hearing the difference between what he was doing.
Right. Which was interesting because I mean, and I'm not always great at it. And especially in person, I think it's very different than when you watch as a third party. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty good at pattern recognition. So I watched the monk do it and then I watched Conan do it. And in my head, I knew that, well, that's not what the monk just did.
Mm.
And then it went into the bit about Conan trying to do it and the monk being like, no, that's not right. And then they had to try and communicate what he didn't do right.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Yeah. But the snowball fight was very heartwarming.
Yeah, it was fun. A lot. It was very humanizing.
Yes. Yes.
I think for all of them involved.
Yeah. So that was neat.
And then was what I think was the most interesting part of the entire episode, where they go to the demilitarized zone, which is the border between North Korea and South Korea. And he does a little snapshot of, you know, they cut to a map and show where the boundary is. And he says that there are over 1 million landmines along that.
I did not know border. That.
I had no idea. That is so many landmines.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so, many.
They get to go to JSA, which is this kind of neutral location. It's a building that both sides can meet in.
Yeah.
And the building is on the border. And mm-hmm. so soldiers from South Korea can stand on one side and soldiers from North Korea can stand on the other side.
Yeah.
And so they got to walk across that border into North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that they did. They sat up this little desk that was next to a soldier. And then one of the people from South Korea told him, like, you can't walk behind him and don't touch him because I can't mm-hmm. promise what would happen to you.
Well, and actually, here's the interesting thing. The person who said that was a U.S. military person. I don't know if you noticed that. There was a Korean military person, but there was also a U.S. military person who was there in the room.
Okay.
And I don't know if they are always there or if they were there because Conan was there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what that was. But yeah, he said, yeah, if you go behind him or if you touch him, I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it kind of implying, and that other, the North Korean soldier was wearing sunglasses and they did a little thing about how everybody in there was wearing sunglasses, which that was funny. But he was standing at the far end, facing forward, no expression, no interaction the entire time. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Think of like the Royal Guards at Buckingham Palace.
Yes.
Or whatever, you know, and that kind of like stereotypical that. Where they just no expression, no interaction, no nothing. They just stand there.
Mm-hmm. And so then he's asking about the cameras in the room. And if he's asking, like, does anyone know that we're here?
Right.
Which was interesting, too. Like, who knows that we're here right now and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, they're watching you. So then he does, like, oh, you're rolling your eyes. I love this.
I thought it was so dumb.
He does about 2 minutes of his show from North Korea at this little tiny desk in this room.
Oh, no, that part was fine. Oh, sorry. No, I thought you were talking about something else.
Oh.
Because they do a cutaway to a shot of, oh, I'm going to say the wrong one. Is it Kim Jong-un, I think is the one?
I think so.
And I think his dad was Kim Jong-il. I apologize to anyone who knows better and is yelling at me and at the device they're playing this through right now. Anyway, him sitting at some outdoor place with a bunch of screens and they clearly cut in Conan's show.
Yeah.
To make it look like he was watching it. That's what I was rolling my eyes at. And then he laughs a bunch.
Oh, like, yeah.
And it was clearly like, that's not.
Oh yeah. There's just no way.
Going on.
Well, and the things you could tell they were being careful what they were saying about North Korea, but like, I mean, still, I think what he was saying, like, wouldn't get laughter.
No.
Yeah.
No. But no, the bit that you're about to describe, I'm not rolling my eyes at that one. I thought that one was kind of funny.
I thought it was so cute. It was just interesting. Like, what would you do if you could be in this room in North Korea, you know, with a camera
I cut you
there?
Off, but go ahead. And what is it that they actually did?
So Cheryl? They sit at a little desk in the corner and they do like a minute of his show. And so he's like, well, we have Stephen Young here and, you know, like we're going to show a clip from The Walking Dead and then they cut to that. And then he does a weather report from mm-hmm. North Korea. And then Stephen does a weather report across the room from South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks out the window and he's like, it's the same.
Yep.
So, yeah, I thought that was really cute. And then at that point, they had to leave and I don't think they were allowed to be there any longer than that.
Right.
So that was crazy. Just like, what did they have to do to make that happen?
Yeah.
Like to let a comedy show film in North Korea right mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we end with K-pop because
of course.
How could you not?
Right.
And so
especially with Conan.
A pop star JYP.
Sure.
And they shoot a music video with him. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was so cute. I just, he does his string dance, which like.
Is that a thing?
I think that's a Conan thing. I think he's done it for a while, because I remember that I did it one time for something, I don't know, performance something I was doing in college. And someone was like, oh yeah, the Conan thing. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that that was a Conan thing. Okay. But where he like moves his hips like he's a marionette and then cuts one of the strings and his hip goes down. But it's so cute because they work that in where like at one point then like this K-pop star is doing it, you know, and so it was a really cute music video. Yeah.
It was fine. I mean, I think it was probably a good reflection of K-pop.
Yes.
So in that sense, you know, cultural, a way of displaying that part of culture, which I thought was fine. It's not my style at all.
I thought it was really well done as far as like, what do you get if you mash up Conan with K-pop? I was like, oh yeah, that was great. Like, they're trying to make him into kind of a pop star, like trying on different outfits on him and different things like that. And there's a dance number, of course. So yeah, it was really fun. And that was our episode.
That was our episode.
So Ryan.
So Cheryl.
Based on the title of our podcast, Take Me With You, if you could take yourself to just one thing from this episode, what would it be and why?
I think it would be to go to the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, just because that's such a unique experience that you wouldn't get to have. And to be able to just see that firsthand, and you know, you're the list checker offer more so than I am, but even just the ability to say that I have technically been in North Korea.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool. What about you?
Possibly that. I think I would be scared too. Yeah. This reminds me of last week when we talked about Turkmenistan. Is that the name?
Mm-hmm.
Turkmenistan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, like being in this country, like, I don't know. I think I would have some fear of a similar way of like,
sure,
is this okay? Am I just all of a sudden going to get in a lot of trouble or something? But yeah, I think that would be really interesting. Or my other choice would be, I would love to be in a K-pop music video. That'd be so fun.
Of course you would.
Did this episode make you want to go to South Korea more than before watching?
No, but I also think that that has more to do with Conan than it does South Korea.
Okay.
Because I know this is going to shock you based on my reactions and my facial expressions that you've been looking at this whole time, but I found Conan and his show kind of off-putting. Mm. So even though I know that that's not reflective of the culture, that's still based on this experience, this show, it's not really something that makes me want to go.
Mm.
What about you? Since you would definitely have a very different reaction to Conan.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think because of his show specifically, but when I see footage of a place, I get more excited about the idea of going there. And so I think just being able to see him there and seeing like, oh, that would be a really cool place to visit. So, yeah. based on the show overall, would you want to travel with Conan O'Brien?
Gee, let me think. That's a toughie. No. No, I would not. Unless, I mean, maybe if he wasn't on the show doing those sorts of things, then maybe he would be a great person to travel with. But based on what we saw on the show, absolutely not. He would drive me crazy. What about you? You kind of talked about this a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to travel with him for his show. Like,
yeah.
I would love to be on this show. I think it'd be so fun. just as a regular travel companion, I would want to travel with Jordan because he seems like a great person to go to Italy with. He's been there a ton of times and he truly appreciates so many details that it'd be so fun. So that was more my takeaway from the Italy episode. But yeah.
Sure.
And Ryan, would you recommend this show?
I'm trying to figure out how to say this. I didn't like the show. I don't want to watch it anymore. I would watch it again before I would watch Dark Tourist. just because, well, the second episode that we watched was actually, I enjoyed that one. But that first episode was just so not great for me. But I think it really depends on your sense of humor. I think that's what we've seen throughout this episode. Because Conan's humor really works for you, then I think, yeah, if that is your sense of humor, totally watch the show, because there are some really cool things that he does and you'll find it funny. If, however, your sense of humor is more like mine, then I would say no, because you'll either be bored or you'll think it's dumb.
Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I don't think it's done poorly. I think it's done well. I think just what it is not what I personally find entertaining.
Yeah, I think that's well said, because you're right. Like, it's produced really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think they get him on interesting experiences. And so, you know, I think that they've done a good job with this show. And so it's like, if you like Conan's humor, then you'll like this show. Yeah.
So would you recommend it?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I want to watch more of it. I was so entertained. And, you know, we're talking about a couple shows that I've been bored by.
Right. Go ahead.
Oh, I think that this is one where it's like, I don't know, as like when I want to watch a travel show, if this is like, oh yeah, this is the best travel show, mm-hmm. but it's very fun. And like, I thought it was funny. I liked it a lot. I mean, getting to see shots of Italy is always really good too. But
yeah.
What were you gonna
say? Actually, when I was watching it, I was thinking about how you had talked about being bored in some of the other shows, like the Gordon Ramsay show, because you found that he was kind of quiet and monotonous, and you, I think, said you were falling asleep or something like that, and that you were bored. And I really wasn't bored. I didn't find it like super, you know, high energy, but I wasn't bored. I was definitely bored watching the show. So it's interesting that you and I, again, that's a difference that we're finding out. We both love travel. I think we both would travel fairly well together.
Yes.
But what keeps us entertained, what we find funny, and what we get bored by are definitely not the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, totally.
All right. We're going to go ahead and move to the last segment called Wish You Were Here. During this segment, Cheryl and I will each highlight a travel attraction from the different places that we've been. You can think of it kind of like a little postcard snapshot of this really cool thing that we've been to that was, we'd write home and say, hey, I wish you were here. This was cool. Cheryl, what would you like to do for your wish you were here this week?
I would like to share about a museum in Madrid that I really enjoyed called the Caixa Forum.
Okay.
And I might be messing up that pronunciation a little bit. It's C-A-I-X-A. And I believe it's pronounced Caixa, but I might be messing that up a little bit.
Okay.
But when I was there, I think they have different installations at different times. So when I was there, they had this really cool Disney exhibit with all this art from Disney films. And so that was really fun. It's not massive, which I think I've learned I appreciate in a museum, when you're like, I'm going to be here for a couple hours and I'm going to have seen everything and then go on with my day. But the building itself is really neat. And one of the most interesting parts of the building is actually the wall right next to the building is, has plants on it. I'm trying to think of how I would describe it. It's like a living wall, I've heard it called.
Okay.
A vertical garden is another term for it. And it's just covered in plants. And so it's like 4-ish stories or so. And so if anything else, go to that museum so you can see the wall outside the museum with all the really cool plants. And then if there's a great exhibit that you want to see, it's just right there. It wasn't terribly expensive. And it's a nice little one of the newer museums there.
Cool.
Yeah. How about you, Ryan?
I'm going to talk about one that I'm also probably not pronouncing correctly. So this is my best take at it. The Monasterboice Round Tower, which is in Northern Ireland. It's a ruin because, as we all know, I love a good ruin. And the Round Tower itself is a pretty large round tower, go figure,
Cool.
that has lost its roof. And it says the present height of the tower is 110 feet. So it's
Okay.
pretty tall.
Yeah.
And it's just stone because it's pretty old. And but it's in a it's from a monastery. And so there it's kind of a graveyard. And what the area is actually best known for are what are called its high crosses. So think about stereotypical Irish Celtic cross. Like
Okay.
picture what you would picture in your head.
Yep.
And there are a bunch of them there, and they're really big, like
Oh,
taller
cool.
than I am big.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like I don't know, 15 feet tall, something like that, a few of them. And you know, they've got carvings in them and things. And it's pretty cool. It's not a super big place. It's not, you don't pay for it. You just kind of walk through. There's not a ton to see, but it's pretty interesting. It's just kind of off the road. And they're really, really pretty. And I also happen to like ruins. So that's always a plus.
Nice. Very cool.
Cheryl, I think that's all we got for this week. If you wanted to follow us on social media, you could do that at TimWee Podcast. That's at TMWY for Take Me With You Podcast. We are on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
You can also email us at timweepodcast@gmail.com. Send us your travel questions, your thoughts on these shows we've been watching, and what is the most embarrassing thing that someone you've been traveling with has done.
Yeah. No, thank you. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 406-763-8699, also known as 406-POD-TIMWEE. Please rate and review our podcast to let other people know what you think. Share about this episode on social media and subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode.
As always, thank you to Beth Reed Miller for the awesome artwork. You can check out more of Beth's artwork at Beth Is Something. And thank you to Erica Corbin for the use of her song Round the Globe. You can listen to Erica's music wherever music is sold or streamed.
Thank you for joining us this week. Tune in again next week where we will watch another travel show and talk about that. But until next time, remember to take me with you.
Take me with you.
Get a sailboat chasing down the sunset as we float round and round the globe. Salty air and balmy nights, guided only by the lights above and light little love. All the world is out there waiting to.